From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Thousands more than the capacity crowd of 14,000 were jammed into the Arizona Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Phoenix, Arizona on Wednesday to see President Donald Trump. Trump held the rally counterposed to the Nevada debates of the Democratic candidates. And we bring you excerpts from both events for our newscast today.
This is unbelievable. You know, there have never been rallies like that. Sleepy Joe Biden the other day had 68 people. And now they have a new member of the crew, Minnie Mike. Minnie Mike. No boxes. We call them no boxes. And I hear he's getting pounded tonight. You know he's in a debate. I hear they're pounding him. He spent $500 million so far. And I think he has 15 points. It just came out. Hey, fake news. How many points does he have right now? 15? They won't tell you the truth. They won't tell you the truth. MSDNC. MSDNC is worse than CNN. They're owned by a company called Comcast. You can have Comcast, a bunch of phonies, but MSDNC is worse than CNN, and they're all pretty bad. No, they just came out with a poll. They just came out with a poll a little while ago. Minnie Mike was at 15, and Crazy Bernie was at 31. That's a lot. And Minnie Mike just spent $500 million. But, the DNC, is going to take it away from Bernie again. And that's okay, because we don't care who the hell it is. We're going to win. We're going to win. We have to.
A majority of Democratic voters still say their top priority is beating President Trump. Senator Sanders, the first question to you. Mayor Bloomberg is pitching himself as a centrist who says he's best positioned to win in November. Why is your revolution a better bet?
In order to beat Donald Trump, we're going to need the largest voter turnout in the history of the United States. Mr. Bloomberg had policies in New York City of stop and frisk, which went after African-American and Latino people in an outrageous way. That is not a way you're going to grow voter turnout. What our movement is about is bringing working-class people together. Black and white and Latino, Native American, Asian American, around an agenda that works for all of us and not just the billionaire class. And that agenda says that maybe, just maybe, we should join the rest of the industrialized world, guarantee health care to all people as a human right, raise that minimum wage to a living wage of $15 an hour, and have the guts to take on the fossil fuel industry, because their short-term profits are not more important than the future of this planet and the need to combat climate change. Those are some of the reasons we have the strongest campaign to defeat Donald Trump.
I don't think there's any chance of the senator beating President Trump. You don't start out by saying, I've got 160 million people, I'm going to take away the insurance plan that they love. That's just not a ways that you go and start building the coalition that the Sanders camp thinks that they can do. I don't think there's any chance whatsoever. And if he goes and is the candidate, we will have Donald Trump for another 4 years, and we can't stand that.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg. Democrats are not going to win if we have a nominee who has a history of hiding his tax returns, of harassing women, and of supporting racist policies like redlining and stop and and frisk. Look, I'll support whoever the Democratic nominee is, but understand this. Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another. This country has worked for the rich for a long time and left everyone else in the dirt. It is time to have a president who will be on the side of working families and be willing to get out there and fight for them. That is why I am in this race, and that is how I will beat Donald Trump.
If speaking to the needs and the pain of a long-neglected working class is polarizing, I think you got the wrong word. What we are trying finally to do is to give a voice to people who, after 45 years of work, are not making a nickel more than they did 45 years ago. We are giving a voice to people who are saying we are sick and tired of billionaires like Mr. Bloomberg seeing huge expansions of their wealth while 500,000 people sleep out on the street tonight. And that's what we are saying, Pete, is maybe it's a time for the working class of this country to have a little bit of power in Washington rather than your billionaire campaign contributors.
I think we have two questions to face tonight. One is, who can beat Donald Trump? And number two, who can do the job if they get into the White House? And I would argue that I am the candidate that can do exactly both of those things. I'm a New Yorker. I know how to take on an arrogant con man like Donald Trump that comes from New York. I'm a mayor, or was a mayor. I know how to run a complicated city, the biggest, most diverse city in this country. I'm a manager. I knew what to do after 9/11 and brought the city back stronger than ever. And I'm a philanthropist who didn't inherit his money, but made his money. And I'm spending that money to get rid of Donald Trump, the worst president we have ever had. And if I can get that done, it will be a great contribution to America and to my kids.
Look, I have said many times before, we are all responsible for our supporters, and we need to step up. That's what leadership is all about. But the way we are going to lead this country and beat Donald Trump is going to be with a candidate who has rock-solid values and who actually gets something done. When Mayor Bloomberg was busy blaming African-Americans and Latinos for the housing crash of 2008, I was right here in Las Vegas, literally, just a few blocks down the street, holding hearings on the banks that were taking away homes from millions of families. That's when I met Mr. Estrada, one of your neighbors. He came in to testify, and he said he thought he'd done everything right with Wells Fargo. But what had happened? They took away his house in a matter of weeks. This man stood there and cried while he talked about what it was like to tell his two little daughters that they might not be in their elementary school, that they might be living out of their van. I spent the next years making sure that would never happen again. Wall Street fought us every inch of the way on a consumer agency. They lost, and I won. We need a candidate with unshakable values and a candidate who can actually get something done for working people.
Thank you, Senator.
That's why I'm in this race, and that's how I'll beat Donald.
We have over 10.6 million people on Twitter, and 99.9% of them are decent human beings, are working people, are people who believe in justice, compassion, and love. And if there are a few people who make ugly remarks, who attack trade union leaders, I disown those people. They are not part of our movement. But let me also say what I hope my friends up here will agree with, is that if you look at the Wild West of the internet, talk to some of the African-American women on my campaign, talk to Senator Nina Turner, talk to others, and find the vicious, racist, sexist attacks that are coming their way as well. So I would hope that all of us understand that we should do everything we possibly can to end the viciousness and ugliness on the internet. Our campaign is about issues. It's about fighting for the working families and the middle class. It is not about vicious attacks on other people.
Senator, when you say that you disown these attacks and you didn't personally direct them, I believe you.
Well, thank you.
But at a certain point, you got to ask yourself, Why did this pattern arise? Why is it especially the case among your supporters?
I don't think it is especially the case, by the way.
That's just not true. Look, well, people know.
Pete, if you want to talk to some of the women on my campaign, what you will see is the most ugly, sexist, racist attacks that I won't even describe them here. They're so disgusting. And let me say something else about this, not being too paranoid. All of us remember 2016. And what we remember is efforts by Russians and others to try to interfere in our election and divide us up. I'm not saying that's happening, but it would not shock me. I saw some of those tweets regarding the Culinary Workers Union. I have a 30-year, 100% pro-union voting record. Do you think I would support, or anybody supports me, would be attacking union leaders? It's not thinkable.
So I want to be clear. I've been to the culinary union's healthcare facilities. They're terrific. You don't want to shut them down. You want to expand right. them. You want to see them all across Nevada and all across this country. Right. But we need to get everybody's healthcare plan out here. Mayor Buttigieg really has a slogan that was thought up by his consultants to paper over a thin version of a plan that would leave millions of people unable to afford their health care. It's not a plan, it's a PowerPoint. And Amy's plan is even less. It's like a post-it note, insert plan here. Bernie has started very much has a good start. But instead of expanding and bringing in more people to help, instead his campaign relentlessly attacks everyone who asks a question or tries to fill in details about how to actually make this work. And then his own advisors say, probably won't happen anyway. Look, healthcare is a crisis in this country. We need, my approach to this is we need as much help for as many people as quickly as possible and bring in as many supporters as we can. And if we don't get it all the first time, take the win and come back into the fight to ask for more. So I actually took a look at the plans that are posted. Mayor Buttigieg, there are four expenses that families pay, right? Premiums, deductibles, copays, and uncovered medical expenses. Mayor Buttigieg says he will put a cap only on the premiums, and that means families are going to pick up the rest of the cost. Amy, I looked online at your plan. It's two paragraphs. Families are suffering, and they need a plan.
It.
You can't simply stand here and trash an idea to give health care coverage to everyone without having a realistic plan of your own. And if you're not going to own up to the fact either that you don't have a plan or that your plan is going to leave people without health care coverage, full coverage, then you need to say so. I just want to say on this one, I was in Reno when I met a man who said he had diabetes. He gets his insulin through the VA. But his sister and his daughter also have diabetes. No way to pay for their insulin. Three human beings right here in Nevada
who are struggling.
They share one insulin prescription.
Mayor Bloomberg, Vice President.
I do think that this really is about leadership and accountability.
Mayor Bloomberg, is Vice President Biden right? You weren't a fan of Obamacare?
I am a fan of Obamacare. Mr. Vice President, I just checked the record because you'd said one time that I was not. In 2009, I testified and gave a speech before the mayor's conference in Washington, advocating it and trying to get all the mayors to sign on. And I think at that time I wrote an article praising Obamacare. It was either in the New York Post or the Daily News. So the facts are I was there. Let me finish. Thank you. I was in favor of it. I thought it didn't go as far as we should. What Trump has done to this is a disgrace. The first thing we've got to do is get the White House and bring back those things that were left and then find a ways to expand it. Another public option, having some rules about capping charges. All of those things. We shouldn't just walk away and start something that is totally new, untried.
Okay, People Vice President Biden, go ahead.
2015. This is how you describe your policing policy as mayor. Quote, we put all the cops in the minority neighborhoods. And you explain that is, quote, because
That's where all the crime is. You went on to say, and the way you should get the guns out of the kids' hands is to throw them against the wall and frisk them. You've apologized for that policy, but what does that kind of language say about how you view people of color or people in minority neighborhoods?
Well, if I go back and look at my time in office, the one thing that I'm really worried about, embarrassed about, was how it turned out with Stop and Frisk. When I got into office, there were 650 murders a year in New York City. And I thought that my first responsibility was to give people the right to live. That's the basic right of everything. And we started, we adopted a policy which had been in place, the policy that all big police departments use of stop and frisk. What happened, however, was it got out of control. And when we discovered, I discovered that we were doing many, many, too many stop and frisks, we cut 95% of it out. And I've sat down with a bunch of African-American clergy and business people to talk about this, to try to learn. I've talked to a number of kids who'd been stopped. And I was trying to understand how we change our policies so we can keep the city safe, because the crime rate did go from 650, 50% down to 300. And we have to keep the lid on crime, but we cannot go out and stop people indiscriminately.
Mayor, thank you. Let me go to Vice President.
I've apologized, I've asked for forgiveness, but the bottom line is that we stopped too many people, and we've got to make sure that we do something about criminal justice in this country. There is no great answer to a lot of these problems. And if we took off everybody that was wrong on this, off this panel, everybody that was wrong on criminal justice at some time in their careers, there'd be nobody else up here.
When the mayor says that he apologized, listen very closely to the apology. The language he used is about stop and frisk. It's about how it turned out. Now, this isn't about how it turned out. This is about what it was designed to do to begin with. It targeted communities of color. It targeted black and brown men from the beginning. And if you want to issue a real apology, then the apology has to start with the intent of the plan as it was put together and the willful ignorance day by day by day of admitting what was happening, even as people protested in your own street, shutting out the sounds of people telling you how your own policy was breaking their lives. You need a different apology. Senator,
there are some Democrats who like you a lot, but worry that this plan, Medicare for All, is going to take away private insurance and that it goes too far. Are they right?
No. Let me be very clear. 2 points. For 100 years, from Teddy Roosevelt to Barack Obama, this country has been talking about the need to guarantee health care for all people. And yet today, despite spending twice as much per capita, Chuck, twice as much as any other major country on earth, we got 87 million who are uninsured or underinsured. We got over 60,000 people who die every year because they don't get to a doctor on time. We're getting ripped off outrageously by the greed and corruption of the pharmaceutical industry, which in some cases charges us 10 times more for the same drugs because of their price fixing. 500,000 people go bankrupt every year because they can't afford medical bills. So let me be very clear to my good friends in the Culinary Workers Union, a great union. I will never sign a bill that will reduce the health care benefits they have. We will only expand it for them, for every union in America, and for the working class of this country. Somehow or another, Canada can provide universal health care to all their people, half the cost. UK can do it, France can do it, Germany can do it, all of Europe can do it. Gee whiz, somehow or another, we are the only major country on earth that can't do it. Why is that? And I'll tell you why. It's because last year the healthcare industry made $100 billion in profits. Pharmaceutical industry, top six companies, $69 billion in profit. And those CEOs are contributing to Pete's campaign and other campaigns up here.
Let's clear this
up. So maybe it is finally time that we said as a nation, enough is enough. The function of a rational healthcare system is not to make the pharmaceutical industry and the drug companies rich. It is to provide health care to all people as a human right, not a privilege,
Mr. Vice President,
no premiums, no co-payments, no deductibles.
Your campaign has said that you would eventually release your tax records when it comes to transparency, but people are already voting now. Why should Democratic voters have to wait?
It just takes us a long time. Unfortunately or fortunately...
Can I comment on that?
Fortunately, I make a lot of money. And we do business all around the world, and we are preparing it. The number of pages will probably be thousands of pages. I can't go to TurboTax. But I put out my tax return every year for 12 years in City Hall. We will put out this one. It tells everybody everything they need to know about every investments that I make and where the money goes. And the biggest item is all the money I give away. And we list that, every single donation I make. And you can get that from our foundation anytime you want. We're releasing them. They'll be out in a few weeks. And that's just as fast as I can do it. Remember, I only entered into this race 10 weeks ago. All of my associates here have been at this for a couple of years.
Several former employees have claimed that your company was a hostile workplace for women. When you were confronted about it, you admitted making sexually suggestive remarks, saying, quote, "That's the way I grew up." In a lawsuit in the 1990s, according to the Washington Post, one former female employee alleged that you said, quote, "I would do you in a second." Should Democrats expect better from their nominee?
Let me say a couple things, and if I can have my full minute and a quarter, thank you. I have no tolerance for the kind of behavior that the Me Too movement has exposed. And anybody that does anything wrong in our company, we investigate it, and if it's appropriate, they're gone that day. But let me tell you what I do in my company and my foundation and in city government when I was there. In my foundation, the person that runs it's a woman. 70% of the people there are women. In my company, lots and lots of women have big responsibilities. They get paid exactly the same as men. And in my in City Hall, the top person, my deputy mayor, was a woman, and 40% of our commissioners were women. I am very proud of the fact that about 2 weeks ago, we were awarded. We were voted the the best place to work, second best place in America. If that doesn't say something about our employees and how happy they are, I don't know what does.
Senator Warren, you've been critical of Mayor Bloomberg on this issue.
Yes, I have. And I hope you heard what his defense was. I've been nice to some women. That just doesn't cut it. The mayor has to stand on his record. And what we need to know is exactly what's lurking out there. He has gotten some number of women, dozens, who knows, to sign non-disclosure agreements, both for sexual harassment and for gender discrimination in the workplace. So, Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements so we can hear their side of the story?
We have a very few non-disclosure agreements.
How many is that?
Let me finish.
How many is that?
None of them accuse me of doing anything other than maybe they didn't like a joke I told. And let me put, there's agreements between two parties that wanted to keep it quiet. And that's up to them. They signed those agreements and we'll live with it.
So wait, when you say it is up to, I just want to be clear. Some is how many? And when you say they signed them and they wanted them, if they wish now to speak out and tell their side of the story about what it is they allege, that's now okay with you? You're releasing them on television tonight?
Senator, no.
Is that right?
Senator,
tonight?
Send of the company and somebody else, in this case, a man or a woman, or could be more than that, they decided when they made an agreement that they wanted to keep it quiet for everybody's interest. They signed the agreements, and that's what we're going to live with.
I'm sorry. No, the question is, are the women bound by being muzzled by you? And you could release them from that immediately, because understand, this is not just a question of the mayor's character. This is also a question about electability. We are not going to beat Donald Trump with a man who has who knows how many non-disclosure agreements and the drip, drip, drip of stories of women saying they have been harassed and discriminated against. That's not what we do as Democrats.
I said we're not going to get to end these agreements because they were made consensually, and they have every right to expect that they will stay private.
Well, I think we did. Let me tell you what happened. First of all, you're right. And thank you, Las Vegas, for the excellent medical care I got in the hospital 2 days. And I think the one area maybe the Mayor Bloomberg and I share, you have two stents as well.
All right. 25 years ago.
Well, we both have two stents. It's a procedure that it's done about a million times a year. So we released the full report of that heart attack. Second of all, we released the full, my whole 29 years in the Capitol, the attending physician, all of my history, medical history. And furthermore, we released reports from two leading Vermont cardiologists who described my situation. And by the way, who said Bernie Sanders is more than able to deal with the stress and the vigor of being president of the United States. Hey, follow me around the campaign trail, 3, 4, 5 events a day. See how you're doing compared to me.
You seem to imply that redlining and stopping that is some that stopping redlining is somehow contributed to the financial crisis.
That's exactly wrong.
And that was the implication that came out in your quote. So I want to give you a chance to clarify this.
I've been well on the record against redlining since I worked on Wall Street. I was against it during the financial crisis. I've been against it since. The financial crisis came about because the people that took the mortgages packaged them and other people bought them. That was where all the disaster was. Redlining is still a practice some places, and we've got to cut it out. But it's just not true. What I was going to say, we maybe want to talk about businesses. I'm the only one here that I think that's ever started a business. Is that fair? Okay. What we need is, I can tell you in New York City, we had programs. There are mentoring programs for young business people so they can learn how to start a business. We had programs that could get them seed capital. Okay. We had programs to get branch banking in their neighborhoods, because if you don't have a branch bank there, you can't get a checking account. Can't get a checking account. You can't get a loan. You can't get a loan. Yeah. You can't get a mortgage. Then you don't have any wealth. There's ways to fix this, and it doesn't take trillions of dollars. It takes us to focus on the problems of
Senator,
small
Senator
businesses.
Senator Sanders, 45 seconds, and we're going to move on. Senator Sanders, 45 seconds.
Just, you know, when we talk about a corrupt political system bought by billionaires like Mr. Bloomberg, it manifests itself in a tax code in which not only is Amazon and many other major corporations, some owned by the wealthiest people in this country, not paying a nickel in taxes, we have the insane situation that billionaires today, if you can believe it, have an effective tax rate lower than the middle class.
Senator, maybe you're just the tax code. Why are you complaining?
What?
You wrote the code.
You and your campaign contributions, electing people who represent the wealthy and the powerful.
Yes, those are the folks. Democrats,
and Republicans too.
Okay.
And George W.
Right.
Bush as well.
Mayor Bloomberg, should you exist?
I can't speak for all billionaires. All I know is I've been very lucky, made a lot of money, and I'm giving it all away to make this country better. And a good chunk of it goes to the Democratic Party as well.
Is it too much? Have you earned too much money? Has it been an obscene amount of money? Should you have earned that much money?
Yes. I worked very hard for it, and I'm giving it away. It's ridiculous. We're not going to throw out capitalism. We tried that. Other countries tried that. It was called communism, and it just didn't work. What a wonderful country we have. The best-known socialist in the country happens to be a millionaire with three houses. What'd I miss here?
Well, you'll miss that I work in Washington, House 1.
That's the first problem.
Live in Burlington, House 2.
That's good.
And like thousands of other Vermonters, I do have a summer camp. Forgive me for that. Where is your home? Which tax haven do you have your home?
New York City, thank you very much, and I pay all my taxes.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.